We shall turn to the Word of God and the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 8, the portion that we've been considering, and we will look at, with the Lord's help, verses 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 8, from verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. In this time that Isaiah lived, there would be few who truly from the heart adhered to God's word. And yet, God did have his disciples, and Isaiah was to proclaim the word to them, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And Isaiah would continue to wait upon the Lord that he would perform his promises to his people. And of course, these words are applicable to Christ, and the following words in verse 18 are indeed spoken by the Messiah, as quoted by the Apostle Paul. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. We considered last time how Christ is identified with his people, and that he and his people are pledges of the fact that God will yet accomplish things in the future for his people. And so now in this text of God's word, we see that the Lord is still speaking to his people and giving them instruction. The Messiah speaks to his children, and he tells them, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? No, they're not to go to familiar spirits and to wizards that peep. They are to go to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. People in the world, and some perhaps even among the professing people of God, will dabble with sorcery and with magic. They will try to communicate with the dead. They might even ask you to join them, but don't listen to them. Don't even think about it. It is absolute folly. Why should the living go to the dead? Where should they go? They should go to God's word. They should go to the light. God's word gives light and is light, to the law and to the testimony, because that is where truth is. That is where light is. In the word of truth is light and blessing. So this evening, with the Lord's help, we will consider first the evil and folly of sorcery. Seeking unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter. Secondly, the duty of seeking our God. Should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? They should not, on behalf of the living, go to the dead for information and for power. They are to go to God. They are to go to his word. And that's what we consider in the third place, the law and the testimony. And fourthly, the test of the spirits, test of false spirits. We are to try all views and opinions by the infallible standard of God's word. Some religious leaders might try to persuade you to blindly follow their teaching apart from Scripture. But God calls us to be like the Bereans. We are to search the Scriptures ourselves, whether these things be so. Well, let us consider first of all the evil and folly of sorcery. When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. In Isaiah's day, there were even Israelites who practiced idolatry, and even perhaps divination, looking to supernatural powers to discern the future. And they practiced sorcery, looking to evil spirits to give them power. And they would encourage others in the same evil practice. Join us. Let's follow these other gods, or let us go about these familiar spirits and wizards. And they would tempt others to sin against God, to go against the clear teaching of God's word. We read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 13, about even close relatives persuading family members to follow other gods of the people which are round about them, which were near or far off. God commands them, chapter 13, verse 8, "Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him," and so on. So there would be those who tempt God's people, his professing people, and even his own dear people to go after familiar spirits and wizards. Now, the Word of God tells us plainly that if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Do not agree with them. Don't even consider following them, because their feet are swift to shed blood. They go in paths that are forbidden. Now, this familiar spirits and wizards that we read of here is a sorcery, looking to evil spirits to gain power. And the idea of a familiar spirit, you can see in the margin of your Bible if it is the new edition. But the idea is that a person has some influence over an evil spirit to give him powers. The word familiar is from the Latin, which means household servant. And it was intended to express the idea that sorcerers had spirits as their servants that were ready to obey their commands. So having a familiar spirit was to have a spirit at one's command to gain power and perhaps tell the future, to even call up the dead. And the word wizard is a word that is similar in meaning, that is also translated familiar spirit, which perhaps even has more closely the idea of that which is familiar or kindred, a kindred spirit. And we read that these familiar spirits and wizards that peep, the wizards would be those who are persons who seek to control the spirits, and they would use sounds like chirping sounds of birds, or even the sounds of a mourning dove, mournful, sorrowful sounds, in order to call up the dead. Well, clearly, these persons who had familiar spirits and these wizards were forbidden. They were outlawed by God, and God commanded the people in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." And so again, this is repeated in this passage before us in Isaiah. "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep," they're saying, seek them, but don't seek them. Do not regard them. And instead, seek the Lord. So not only were these persons who had familiar spirits and these wizards, these sorcerers, outlawed, they were also punished by death. God's people were commanded to stay away from them, and they were also, these wizards were to be stoned with stones. They were surely to be put to death, Leviticus 20:27. One writer says that man has desired from time immemorial to know the future, and that is what people want to do today. They talk about looking into their crystal ball, and of course that has to do with the occult. It's linked together. That is wanting to gain knowledge that is hidden from others. And that is what people are attracted to. Some people are attracted to today, the occult, which the word itself is comes from the Latin meaning hidden or secret things. And people want to inquire into the future, or they want to speak to their dead loved ones, or gain some power, or gain satisfaction by communication with the supernatural or with the dead. And this occult is more prevalent than we realize, perhaps. It's been estimated that there are hundreds of millions of members of the occult worldwide. So this is the reality. The question is, why is this the case? Why are people today attracted to this? I read that the astrology has become more prevalent since the 1960s. Well, the media is telling us that science has eliminated the supernatural, that there is no need to search for or rely upon God, and science has given us all the answers that we need. But you see, people are not satisfied with mere data and scientific information. They know in their hearts there's something beyond the physical. And we know, people know, that they are more than atoms and molecules. And so they are missing the spirituality that their souls are feeling the need of. And not that they have a desire for God, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, and holy, but they know that there is something that is beyond time and the physical. And you see, it's the occult that is filling that vacuum, filling that void. And that's why it appears to be so prevalent today. But when they say to you, seek after them that have familiar spirits, and go to diviners or the occult, wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Here is the answer. You should seek after the Lord. Just as a people, a nation, would naturally seek their national God, the God that they grew up with, even though it's a false God, but this is what they naturally do. Well, should not God's people seek the Lord, their own God, who is the living and true God? Israel should seek their own God. And why then would they go after familiar spirits and wizards? That which is among the darkness. That which is dealing with the dead. So should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? The word, the idea is that should they, on behalf of the living, seek unto the dead? Should a person who is a wizard be employed by someone who's alive to inquire among the dead? Why would a living person go to a sorcerer and say, please call up the dead person for me? You're alive, why go to the dead? It's the world of departed spirits, they're gone. They're not going to communicate with you who are among the living. These dead people, they have to give an account to God. They're before the judge. They've either gone to heaven or to hell, and there's no escaping hell. So clearly, God is instructing the people that they are to go to the living and true God. As Jeremiah says, the Lord is the true God. Jehovah, the great I am. He is the true God, he is the living God, and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. We should go to God, who reveals himself in Christ, the one who loves his people and has his disciples. Go to him. So, friends, let us be warned also that we should not be even overly curious about these things, perhaps not curious at all. We know the occult is there. We should pray for them who are enticed and seduced by these things and even bound by the delusions of Satan. And we should pray that we ourselves would be kept from Satan's devices. And remember that the evil one is nearer than we think, not in the way of ghosts and apparitions, but by tempting us to rebel against God, to dabble with temptation to sin against him in the ways of the world, that which is evil practice, and that which is against and contrary to the word of God. So we are to go to the Lord, go to him who is light, go to him who is the one who reveals the will of God for our salvation, to the law and to the testimony. That is where we should go. And that is what we consider next. Secondly, the law and the testimony. In all of our inquiries, even in our desire to know the future, we're to go to the Word of God. The Word of God does tell us the future. It tells us about the judgment day, as well as the resurrection, and that we will all appear before our Maker. And in all of these, our thoughts about duty and what we are to believe, we're to go to the Word of God. We're to go to the law and to the testimony. So the law is the declaration of God's will. It is bringing before us our duty before God. And we might add to that that it is the law of God is a rule of righteousness. It is the rule of our duty. It is armed with the penalty. The breakers of the law will be punished. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, which we know that we cannot obey God's law perfectly, and that therefore we are liable by nature to his wrath and curse. But Christ is offered to us freely in the gospel. He has obeyed the law. He suffered the penalty of the law, which is death, the curse, the sentence of death. He has exhausted the curse, and there's no more death and no more curse, no eternal death for those who believe in Christ. And still the law is bringing before us our duty before God. It reveals to us God's will, his revealed will for us. And if we're God's people, we have a new nature that loves the law of God, and we see the freedom that there is in obeying it. And God's people delight in the law of God after the inward man, as Paul the Apostle says. There's also the testimony to the law and to the testimony. Now, the testimonies of God is God himself testifying to his truth about himself and his will for us. He declares to us what he knows. He declares to us what he has determined. What he knows and what he has purposed is God's testimony. And he brings before us that which is necessary for us to know for our peace and for our deliverance from danger. As he warns Isaiah and the people, say ye not a confederacy or a conspiracy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. And let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, and so on. So God is revealing to Isaiah and his disciples what is necessary for them to believe and what his will is for them to do. And the law and the testimony together have been explained this way. The law is the revelation of God expressing his will for man's obedience. I'll repeat that. The law is the revelation of God expressing his will for man's obedience. The testimony of God is his will, is his revelation expressing his will as a system to be believed, a system to be believed. So the law and the testimony make up the complete rule of faith and life for believers, for all of us. There's no other rule to follow, no other system of belief, but that which God's word reveals to us. So as the Catechism answers the question, what do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God, that's his testimony, and what is the duty God requires of man, that is his law, the testimony and the law. To the law and to the testimony, that is where we are to go, to know what we are to believe concerning God and to know what is God's will for us, what he requires of us. Well, do we love God's testimonies? Do we love his truth? That which God himself reveals as to his, to himself, his personhood, the trinity of divine persons, who he is, and what he has purposed, what he will accomplish, and what is truth, and that is himself. And the teaching of his word. And do we love his law? Do we love his revealed will? Do we want to know what God's will is for us? Are we his disciples? That's another way to put it. Are we learners? And are we ready, as it were, without giving it a second thought, to go immediately to the law and to the testimony of God, to know what we are to believe, to know what we should think, and how we are to view things, and to know what our duty is. So it's to the Word of God that we're to go. It's the Word of God that brings us the ground of hope for the blessedness that we look forward to, which is life everlasting in the presence of Christ and God the Father, and with his angels and with his people in heaven forever. It's the Word of God that brings us the hope of future glory. And friends, everything else is to be rejected. And so we should test the false spirits. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So finally, in the last place, the test of false spirits. The word of God gives light. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, the word which contains the law and the testimony, what we're to believe concerning God, what is the duty that God requires of us, this is the word which contains what we are to believe and what we are to perform. If they speak not, whoever it is, whoever is concerned, if they speak not according to this word, why is it? It is because there is no light in them. If they don't speak according to this word, there's only one explanation. There's no light in them. You may talk about the source of the false teaching. You may consider the means and how it's communicated to you. But there's one thing we know for sure. It is that there's no light in them. To the extent that it's false, to that extent, it is darkness. It is a lie. There's no light in them. Now, the word light is, as you can see in the margin, translated no morning. Perhaps even more specifically, there is no dawn. No light of the dawn. There's no dawn. Therefore, there's no morning light. There's no escaping the darkness, as it were. There's a permanent night to those who are advocating error and falsehood. There's no light in them. There's no dawn, no twilight, nothing but endless darkness, one long night with them, nothing but darkness. And also, the dawn is a picture of relief after misery. relief after misery. The night was long, but at last the morning came. There's light, the sun rises, it's a new day. And there's the lifting up of the countenance. Just seeing the light gives comfort. But to those who do not speak according to this word, there is no dawn. There's no relief to them. There's nothing but misery. There's no hope of deliverance. There's no escaping the calamities that will come upon those who love the darkness rather than light. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 3, towards verse 19, speaking about those who are condemned because they love darkness rather than light. And the reason was their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They love their sinful practices. Well, of course they don't want to come to the Bible to read about their sinful ways being condemned. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Paul in 2 Thessalonians also speaks about those who loved unrighteousness. And God gave them up to believe a lie. They were deceived, and they will perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And they will be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So rejecting the truth, rejecting righteousness, they are given up to darkness, to believe a lie, and to perish in their sins. You see the downward spiral that a person will enter into by rejecting the truth and dabbling with lies, and especially with the occult. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. There's no dawn, there's no outlet, no way of escape. Going in the way of darkness and falsehood, the way of Satan and his lies, is the way to enter outer darkness, the blackness of darkness forever. So friends, God is telling us there is one hope for us, and that is the light of the Word of God, and that is the truth of the gospel. The gospel is good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it is the gospel that expels the darkness of our souls, that gives us hope, and that gives us, that brings to us the knowledge of salvation by the remission of our sins, as Zechariah told John the Baptist, his son. Salvation is experience through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is the means of escaping the darkness of everlasting punishment. There will never be a real, permanent, lasting rescue from doom and gloom except by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Come to him, rely on the Lord Jesus for wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We were speaking on the way to the prayer meeting about what it is to abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. We need to go to him for truth and abide in him, remain in him. It is to lay aside all that we might draw from our own wisdom and strength and merit, and to desire all from Christ. As one says, by the inward aspiration of faith, desiring from Christ, depending on him, relying on him for all that we need, wisdom, strength, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And we are to reject falsehood. It does matter what we believe. It does matter where we get our information. This day when people talk about fake news and misinformation and myth information and all the rest, it does matter. But ultimately, we're to go to the light of the Word. And when it comes to that which we should believe in regard to faith and practice, it is always to the infallible standard of God's word. By the standard of God's word, we are to test all other views and opinions. We should compare them, going immediately to the scripture. As John tells us, as we read, "Beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Falsehood is prevalent, but the truth of God remains the same. The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We cannot go wrong if we're close to the Lord by his Spirit, studying his word. Oh, that the word of Christ would dwell in us. To the law and to the testimony. We do not agree with Roman Catholics who tell us to submit to the church by implicit faith, blind obedience. That's contrary to scripture, that betrays or destroys liberty of conscience and reason also, as the Westminster Confession of Faith says. So let us be determined to proclaim the word, to hear the word, to be unflinching in our adherence to the word, and not be swayed by other sources of light or wisdom. Perhaps none of us will ever be tempted by the occult, but there may be some philosophies or worldly wisdom that we find attractive, and we are to test it all by the infallible word of God, to the law and to the testimony. Immediately we must go there. And if they speak not according to this word, if they are not agreeable to the scripture, stay away from it. There's no light in it. We encourage you to read good books, but friends, we plead with you to study the scriptures. Search the scriptures. May the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And John again in chapter 2 of his epistle says, "Let that therefore abide in you." Let it stay within you. "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning." And Paul says in another place, if anyone else or an angel from God taught you another gospel, don't believe them. Adhere to what you have been given in the first instance and cleave to that word. We're to buy the truth and sell it not. John says, "If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." Continue. Press on. So go to the law, go to the testimony. Seek the book of the law, read the scriptures, and when they shall say unto you, "Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God?" For the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.